Hello, and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name is Amanda.
Amanda cannot stop laughing.
When you started, my throat immediately just gurgled into the mic, and I started laughing, and now I can't stop.
You know what? At least you're laughing and not crying.
That I can cry.
I would prefer if you did not.
Okay.
Thank you. So here we are.
Here we are.
This is episode 69.
Is it 69?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at me because you know this is going to be my favorite number?
Well, you didn't say it. Are you going to say it? Are you never on the internet?
What is it?
69. Nice.
I don't know. What is that?
Whenever anything is 69 or anybody says 69, everyone on the internet goes, nice. You are disappointing me deeply right now.
Do I live under a rock?
I think you do. Honestly, I really think you do.
I was going to say 69 feeling fine.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to call my lawyer and figure this out.
Okay, 69. Nice.
Yeah, you could say it like that.
Is that not how you do it?
I did like the thumbs up.
Yeah. Nice.
You really... Jiminy Cricket.
I'm trying to get it down.
This is what I imagine. Like, it's like 69, someone goes, nice. And it's like that emoji with the sunglasses. Like,
oh. Nice. So I have to be way cooler.
Yeah, you gotta be cool about it.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
You hit it.
Thank you.
You've never heard of 69 nice before?
No.
Girl, are you sure you're turning 30?
Is this, this seems like a Gen Z thing.
No, this has like been around since we were in high school, dude.
I'm not a person.
Sometimes I think that.
I don't know.
Oh my God, maybe when you had your sleep paralysis, you became not a person and you didn't even realize it because you have all of Amanda's general memories.
If I'm not Amanda, I still wouldn't know 69 nice.
Yeah, you only have like the important memories.
Oh, okay.
They had to make room for still all that alien knowledge. Like, can you do math now?
No.
Oh, never mind. I take that back.
Absolutely not.
I feel like aliens can do math.
Yeah, probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can definitely do surgery.
Oh, definitely. And it's all with lasers.
Yeah.
I imagine.
So they're very Derek Shepherd already.
Love that.
Yeah. But I don't even know if surgeons can do math. Maybe they can't.
That is a great question.
You know?
Any surgeons, let us know in the comments.
I automatically just assume smart people can do math, right? Like, you would think that.
Yeah.
But then I was listening to Crime and Roses today, and they're both lawyers, so they're both, or they're attorneys.
And they're both very smart.
Super smart.
Yeah.
And they were both talking about how they can't do math for shit. So I was like, oh my God, not every smart person can do math.
I don't mean to toot my own horn here.
You can't do math.
No, I was going to say, I feel like I'm pretty smart.
Yeah. You can't do surgery, okay?
I can't. Kate's convinced she could do surgery because she watched all of Grey's Anatomy in a month.
I would trust her more than you.
I would also trust her more. I think I'd be too brazen.
Yeah.
I would be a little too cocky, and I'd nick something, and you'd wake up weird.
Absolutely.
But I'm the one you'd want to come to when nobody else would perform the surgery because it's too dangerous.
Oh, I'm not saying you wouldn't do it. I'm just saying I don't think I would trust you to do it.
That's fair.
You would absolutely try to do it. You'd be like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can remove that tumor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that scene in Old.
I haven't seen Old yet.
You gotta see Old. Everything comes back to Old. Everything.
Every single person that's listening to these episodes, like, they're just like, enough with the old. We get it.
They're like, it's getting old.
Oh.
Come on. You have to give that one to me.
Oh, man.
You have to give that one to me.
Nice.
Nice. 69. Nice. I like it. See, now you're in on it. Don't you feel better?
I do. I like to be in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'm going to give you a for example how the internet would do this. Like, let's say on Twitter, some poll came out and was like, oh, Senator Rogers is leading in the polls with 69% of the votes in the blah, 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 blah. Senator Williams has blah, 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 right? Everybody would just reply and be like, nice, 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 nice. That would be like every reply.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in on the joke.
Yeah, that's so, I can't believe you've never heard that.
That's so embarrassing. I'd probably be like, why is everyone saying nice?
You'd be like, oh, do they really like this senator?
Yeah, I'd be like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, no, it's like 69. Nice.
I usually just go, 69.
The stepmom energy. not like porny stepmom energy. Like
you know, like dorky.
Dorky.
Yeah.
Stepmom energy.
Absolutely. Like the stepmom that's like, hey kids, what are we doing in here?
Yeah, what are we doing? And you're like a little younger than the father.
Yeah.
So like you think the kids are really going to like you, but they're like, oh God, she's back.
I think I'm hip. I'm like dancing into the room.
Yeah, you're like, look at these new like pants I got. Yeah. And they're like, oh,
look
Jesus Christ.
Look at this tracksuit. Isn't this cool?
Exactly.
Yeah. I love this for me.
69, feeling fine.
I know what that means.
I've seen every episode of The Office. They're like, who watches The Office?
Oh my God. If kids say that.
Kids hate The Office. Gen Z hates The Office.
Oh my God. I'm done. I'm done with Gen Z.
They also hate Friends, I think.
Ah! Rude.
Stepmom energy right there. There it is. We've unlocked it.
I think maybe this is my calling.
Yeah, you really messed out.
I look like a stepmom sometimes when I go out.
Pretty often, yeah.
Usually when I go to the beach.
Oh, that's your peak stepmom.
Yeah.
Is beach or when you're in Florida. Anything you wear in Florida.
When I'm in Florida with my parents driving their golf cart.
Yeah, that's your peak. That's literally like your peak physical form.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to murder my husband so I can find someone else and be a stepmom.
Listen, he's going to get lost at sea eventually. They always do. What?
The way you just took a sip of your drink and like looked at me like you were going to take Sam out to sea and come back without him.
Like I was going to lose him at sea personally.
Yes. Like for me, like you didn't wink, but you wanted to wink.
Listen, I've gotten in trouble for winking on the show before, okay? But I would very much like to thank our new Patreon members, our cool kids. First of all, I would like to thank Sam.
We have so many Sams.
We have a lot of Sams, but men and women.
Men and women, and all equally as cool.
Yeah, that's right. You listen, Amanda's a little bit biased because her husband's name is Sam.
That's true.
But I also like you guys.
Yeah.
Also, thank you to Emily.
Hi, Emily.
And thank you to Brittany.
Brittany.
And extra special thank you to Francis and Lindsay, who joined at a higher level. You guys rock.
I mean, you all rock.
You all rock. I just want, you know, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
They get even more content.
That's true.
And it helps us out even more.
That's true.
So thank
and
you guys
Cassidy
so much.
Cassidy likes you more than the others.
Listen, I ain't saying she's a gold digger. Also...
Your dad bought us some beers.
Well, we have multiple bought me some beers today.
Multiple?
Yeah, so my dad bought us 5 beers.
Wow.
And his comment was, please get lots of Taco Bell and specifically cheese sauce and those sweet and crunchy things to dip it in.
Ew.
Love the pod and the stories and the information and, of course, the comedy.
Wow. Jay Liston.
So, fun fact. My dad was actually a radio DJ back in the day.
Back in the dizzy.
Back in the dizzy day. I did want to say that.
You did.
I don't know why.
I had to help you because I knew it.
You knew, you felt it.
Yeah.
God, same brain. So if any of you think that I'm funny in any capacity.
Oh, your dad is so much funnier.
I am nowhere near the level of comedy Jay Liston is
no,
at.
No, nowhere.
That dude is so funny.
He's peak comedy.
He has so many good jokes that sometimes I steal his jokes.
Yeah. And they're not even just dad jokes. They're good jokes.
He does bits like a stand-up comedian.
No,
like,
I know.
My dad genuinely could be like a stand-up comedian.
I think he's just funny in nature.
Yeah. And like, but he has this whole bit about how he doesn't want to be found dead. Because no matter how you died, if you're found dead, it's like a negative implication. Like there was something saucy going on. And the way he says it is so funny. And I love it. And I try to repeat it like as when I'm
You're
running out of...
You're trying to steal his jokes?
I'm hawking his jokes. I am.
Wow.
I'm not proud of it, but for the record...
You deserve it.
I deserve it. Listen, he's not going on the road with these, okay? When someone spent more than 45 minutes with me and I start to lose my own material, I need to come from the back of the brain, steal Jay's.
Fair.
Anyways, super funny. Thank you, Dad. You're the best. Thanks for making me funny.
And thanks for loving me.
He does love you, like a daughter. We also had Nathan bought us a few beers.
Thanks, Nathan.
And Nathan says, cheers. Also, Fiesta potatoes rule. I love that people are just trying to make us like Taco Bell queens.
Is this just our lives now?
I especially love Nathan's little buy us a beer, because Nathan actually messaged me today on Twitter and said, "Hi, Queens, what's your buy me a coffee link?" And so I sent it and said, "Thank you. And thank you so much for always supporting the podcast. You totally rock." Nathan also, and so after I send it, Nathan says, "You're welcome. You rock. OMG, the retweet of the Wild at Heart Buffy meme is so good. Are you guys Buffy fans too?" And I was like, dude, literally the main piece of art in my living room is a Buffy Summers Saint photo or painting. Once again, hand-me-down from Angelica.
You love those hand-me-downs, but that's a good piece of art.
I love that piece, yeah.
Yeah, we love Buffy.
We love Buffy. So thank you to all of our cool kids, all of our new cool kids, all of our remaining cool kids. Thank you to all the people who buy us beers. You guys totally rock. We totally dig you. Thank you for supporting the podcast. It makes us so happy. How was your week, Amanda?
My week's good. I Love Island USA is almost over. Sad.
We have a lot of listeners who are Love Island fans.
How do you know?
Because they follow me on Twitter and I follow them back and they just tweet about Love Island.
How come nobody ever talks to me about Love Island? I'm simultaneously watching Love Island USA and Love Island UK.
Yeah, you prefer the UK.
Yeah. The UK. Oh, this season of UK is intense. Drama.
Ooh, love it.
And then Bachelor in Paradise starts this week. Like, this reality shows right now, this is all I watch.
I'm watching Succession.
No idea what that is.
It's very good. Kieran Culkin.
Not a reality TV show.
It's not. I don't watch reality TV, really. Listen, I don't like reality.
No. Other people's realities.
It makes me too depressed. Remember when I watched The Bachelorette with you for a little while and you were like, "Can you stop telling everyone to go to therapy?"
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe stick to what you watch. It's fine.
I'll stick to dramas about billionaires.
There you go. Yeah. That's better.
And then I want to rewatch The Sopranos when I'm done with Succession.
Okay.
If I was a boy, everyone would be like, "These are red flags. These favorite television shows of yours are very red flag-ish."
Okay, but imagine if I was a boy, my favorite television shows would be even more red flag-ish.
No, I feel like a lot of, I know a lot of like men who are like, "Oh, that's like your guilty pleasure is you like reality TV."
Then I would be cool.
Yeah, you'd be like the cool boyfriend who's like, "Yeah, of course I want to watch Love Island with you."
And then go on Love Island. Ooh, Fuck Boy Island. That's a new one too that I just binged.
How many islands are there?
There's a lot of islands. There's Love Island. There's F Boy Island. There's...
Is it F Boy or Fuck Boy?
Well, it's F Boy because you can't say Fuck Boy in the title.
Says who?
HBO.
HBO?
We can't say it in the title.
HBO, they're allowed to do whatever they want. That's the whole point, I thought, of HBO.
Who knows?
Is it a reality TV show?
Mm-hmm. And Nikki Glaser is the host.
I don't understand why they have to keep putting them on islands.
It's great.
Is it supposed to elicit some sort of mental disease in them? Like they're trapped on an island? It's like...
I mean, they are trapped on an island. It's a little scary.
Yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise is also on an island.
Yeah, I feel like the island thing is, like, really important to them, which I feel like is there's something psychological. They should all just go to therapy.
You're not wrong. They should all go to therapy. Therapy is amazing. We all love therapy.
I can't wait to have insurance again so I can go to therapy.
There you go. On a lighter note, tomorrow when this episode comes out, Pumpkin comes back to Dunkin' Donuts.
Are we going to go?
Fuck yeah.
I love their pumpkin donuts.
I love their pumpkin iced coffee.
I got totally ethered today.
What?
So I was like, okay, I can drive through McDonald's and get myself an iced coffee, which I love iced coffee.
I actually love McDonald's iced coffee.
It's good. I just get black iced coffee. And so I was driving through and I get up to the thing and they're like.
To the window?
Yeah. They're like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "I would love a medium black iced coffee, please." And the guy goes, "Okay, and what else do you want?" And I was like, "Just that. That's all." And he goes, "So you just want coffee and ice for breakfast?" It's like, Jesus.
Are you being serious?
Yes. And then I went, "Yes." And he goes, "Okay, that'll be $2.75 or whatever at the next window." I pulled up and he looked so disappointed in me. But the way he said, "So you just want coffee and ice for breakfast?" Yes, sir.
Who is this man?
I don't know, but he was a hater.
He doesn't know you.
Of biblical proportions.
I mean, in his defense, he could have at least gotten a hash brown.
I should have just bought the hash brown and thrown it out. Like, honestly, to just not seem like such a freak.
Why would you throw it out?
I wasn't hungry.
They're so good.
I'm not hungry in the morning. I don't understand. I literally went out to breakfast the other day with one of my friends who I hadn't seen in forever. And he, like, works nights, so I never get to see him. And he was like, let's go to breakfast. And I was like, okay, I will, because I want to see you. I show up. First of all, I had to wake up early for this. I don't usually get out of bed till like 11.
I feel like I didn't get a morning text recently, so.
This is like a week and a half ago.
Hmm.
Oh, remember I sent you like 1,000 voice memos right after I went.
You're going to call that breakfast.
Yeah, we met up at like 10:30 or something, or 11.
I'm pretty sure the voice memos I got were at like 2 p.m.
Yeah, it was because it was after.
Okay.
Anyway, I am not hungry in the morning. I don't usually get hungry until like 1 p.m., and so I ordered breakfast enchiladas, and I literally had 2 bites of them.
Pot holder. Oh.
And he was like, do they not taste good? And I was like, I just don't eat breakfast. I usually just have coffee. Like, I don't know how to be hungry. And then I just eat until, like, 1 a.m. That's my thing. It's like, so normal people, like, eat in the morning, and they stop eating at, like, 10 p.m. I don't start till 1 p.m., and then I eat till 1 a.m.
You don't. You don't eat.
I'm a nighttime eater.
Okay, I bring you Taco Bell every time we record, and you barely take, like, 3 bites, and then you put it away.
I eat some of it before, and then I eat the rest of it after.
Meanwhile, I'm scarfing down every bite. I am licking the plate. Like, I don't understand.
Your plate was a burrito minus the tortilla.
Yeah.
You got a burrito bowl at Taco Bell.
It was good.
Kind of looked kind of good.
It was pretty good.
Speaking of Taco Bell.
Did they sponsor us yet?
I wish. Jim from Botox with Big Jim says that a touchless Taco Bell could be the future of drive-thrus. I love that everyone just sends us their Taco Bell content. So I'm opening up this article right here, written by Joanne Mueller. It's got a very futuristic-looking Taco Bell here. Brooklyn Park? Oh, Minnesota. That is misleading. It's misleading. So they have a touchless drive-thru restaurant coming to Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. It'll be a 4-lane drive-thru, 3 of which are dedicated to mobile delivery or delivery orders. And the 4th lane is a regular drive-thru where you place your order at a kiosk and drive ahead to pick it up. Mobile order customers can scan the QR code and just pick up their food. And the food is made in an elevated kitchen that's above the drive-thru. And it drops down like at a bank. You know how
Ooh,
they do that?
Ooh, that's so fun.
I love the idea of ordering through a kiosk. Mostly because I am disgusting. And I like to customize everything that I order.
Well, you also like to get 50 packets of fire sauce.
Specifically fire sauce. And if I don't get it, my skin crawls.
Yeah, we know. I saw you earlier when they gave me hot sauce instead of fire sauce.
I literally opened the bag and went, oh!
And I was like, Cassie, I swear I asked for fire sauce. I swear.
I believe you. I wasn't mad at you. I have this issue. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have this issue where specifically fast food, like I need it to taste a certain way. And if it doesn't taste that way, I can't enjoy it. And so and it comes down to like everything, even as small as like the sauce, like I need it to be like the right sauces for the right foods. Oh my God. I'm making myself sound so mentally ill. Like I'm so sorry. I mean, I am. It's the same thing that happens to me. Like, so there's like I like to walk everywhere, and like there's a certain way I like to walk everywhere. And when I can't walk the certain way I like to walk, it's like really distressing to me. Like if the road is closed or the sidewalk's closed, like, and I have to cross. I don't know what it is or something about that. That's like, and I'm like pretty go with the flow. Like I don't care about most things. And then I have these weird routine things like I need to happen. If they don't happen, I will lose it.
Sounds like me with my chapstick in the car.
Yeah, I basically Pavlov dogged myself, Taco Bell fire sauce.
Well, I do think he was mad at me for ordering a burrito with no tortilla because he went and got someone else. And then
he was like, you got to take over. I can't handle this bitch.
Yeah. And then the lady came on and she was like, what did you want?
He's like, I absolutely will not be handling this no carb nonsense today. You want to go first?
I think I'll go first.
Okay. Let me open my beer first.
Okay.
My hard seltzer.
I was... I was going to say, not a beer.
It's not a beer. This is lower in calorie.
That's right.
Lower in sugar. Except we're not lower in calorie than a Miller Lite, which is my preferred drink.
Gross.
Coors Light's okay, too. No Bud Light, though.
Bud Light Platinum.
Bud Light Platinum's on a whole other playing field.
I think they might have got rid of that.
It was too dangerous. It was like a Four Loko.
It was.
That shit was way.
It was so good.
The public should not be allowed to drink that.
Yeah, that shit was bomb.
It was so good. Mm. So easy to drink. It was like 6.7% alcohol.
It was a lot. Okay, so I'm just going to dive right in.
Dive right in, girl. Let's get it right in the deep end.
Right into the deep end here. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit today.
Okay.
About the Congregation for the Light.
Okay. Ooh, are we doing a cult? Oh, is this controversial? We're going to need my lawyer, aren't we?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Nick, get ready. Get on speed dial.
It is just a group that is still kicking to this day.
Oh, you're going to get us sued.
I don't want someone to come after me. That's all.
I won't put it in the description of the episode. I'll just say we're talking about some guys.
Just some weird guys.
Just some guys. Yeah. Who even knows if they're weird?
We don't even know who they are.
I don't even know these guys.
It's fine.
Let's just allegedly talk about some things that allegedly might be going on.
Okay, perfect. So my sources for this are... The best source I found was an article on the New York Post by Kate Bricolette. I also have an article on Brooklyn Magazine by Margaret Ebby. Congregation for the Light Blogspot, which is a blog written by a former member.
Ooh.
An article on The Commentator by Ellie Parker, and an article on Daily Mail. There's not too much information known about the Congregation for the Light because it is a very, very, very secret society.
We love a secret society, though.
Yeah. But we do have some information just thanks to some former members that decided to come out and tell us some things. So this group goes by the Congregation for the Light solely for tax purposes, obviously.
Oh, to seem like a church?
Yes, because if they call themselves a congregation, they can just say they're a church and get those tax write-offs, baby.
Are they based in the U.S.?
They are. They are based out of New York. However, all the members only refer to this group as The Light. So from now on, I'm mostly going to just refer to this as The Light because Congregation for the Light is just a mouthful. I can't do it. So here's what we know about The Light. We know that the group has for sure been around since the 1960s, but what is taught to its members dates back to 19th century England. So members are told that basically there's this husband and wife known solely as the Wyeths and nothing more. They don't know their first names. They just refer to them as the Wyeths. And this couple woke up from the same dream one night and just wrote down a bunch of like symbols and just anything they could remember about this shared dream they had. And from then on, these writings are what later became the ideologies and beliefs of the Congregation for the Light.
Okay.
They're not really allowed to ask questions, so they just kind of go with it.
Yeah, I mean, as all great things begin.
Exactly. So the only person who has these like principles, beliefs, ideologies written down on some pieces of paper are whoever the current leader is, and it's always passed down to the next leader and so on. And they're the only people that are allowed to read these pieces of paper. No one else can see them. According to an ex-member named Paul Arthur Miller, who I'm going to actually refer to a lot in this because he's pretty much the only ex-member that will not just say he's anonymous, like he actually says his name.
Did he write a book?
I don't know if he wrote a book. He's currently writing a screenplay about this.
Okay, because when you said that name, I was like, oh, that guy's a writer.
I think he might be.
Okay, yeah.
So he said that, and I quote, "The belief is that planet Earth will be ending soon, and we would have to defend our people and safeguard our food and supplies," end quote.
So it's like a doomsday prepper type thing.
Yes.
To me, I'm like, why would you... Never mind.
No, I want you. I want.
I was gonna say, like, is there like a divine power involved in this, like a god? Like, do they worship somebody or something?
Not really.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because my thing is like when people are like, oh, the world's gonna be ending soon and we need to prepare. I'm like, why would you worship somebody who's not gonna help you out when the world ends?
Yeah, there's not really a god in this.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So Paul Arthur Miller, he was born into the Congregation for the Light, and he stayed in it for about 30 years.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. But, like, that's a long time.
For the first 18 years of that, he didn't have autonomy. Like, think about, like...
I was like, explain it.
Like, for the first 18 years, he was a minor, so his parents... Yes. He didn't get to choose that.
That's true.
And so, like, really, 12 years and getting out is pretty good.
You're old enough to be like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah. But, like, did he, like, go away for college? Like, I doubt it.
Well, we'll get more into that.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, like, I started questioning my religion when I was probably, 14, 15, 16, just because a lot of it was, like, very anti-LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that, what?
This is just very similar to what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, yeah. And so, like, when I became old enough to realize, like, I knew, like, I had friends who were gay and mm-hmm. I was a little gay. And I was like, oh, shit. That's actually okay, guys. It turns out. That's, when I started realizing. But even after that, it took me years.
No, I mean, I get it. How it could definitely take somebody a long time to leave something that they were born into, especially.
Well, and, like, you were never raised, like, really religious. Like, I was raised, like, very religious. Mm-hmm. Like church 2 times a week religious.
Yeah, I know.
And everything, we prayed before every meal. And it wasn't just, like, a quick prayer. Like, we would legitimately, like, pray. If anything was wrong, if I went to my parents with, like, a problem, we would pray about it. And we'd speak to God about it. And, like, was raised really religious. So, like, there's, like, a security in that. The idea of leaving it is terrifying.
During Thanksgiving or Christmas, my family would go, thanks for the grub. Thanks for the grub. Yay, God.
Yeah, very different experience.
I think they still do that.
That sounds way more fun. I remember once I was like talking to someone about church and I was like, yeah, I just wish they talked about hell less. Like, hell seems really scary. And someone was like, why are you talking about hell in church? I'm like, of course they talk about hell in church. Like, the whole point is like, you don't want to go to hell. Like, they want to make sure you don't go to hell. They're teaching you things and ways to not go to hell. Somebody was like, yeah, that's not normal. That is not how Catholic Church is. Catholic Church, they talk in a language I don't understand. We kneel, we stand up a little bit, and then we drink some wine and leave.
Literally, I was going to say, because I grew up Catholic, and when I did go to church, never understood a word anyone was saying. Ever. They were always speaking gibberish.
Oh, I could do this.
You're like, I have no idea what they're saying.
And then
fine.
They gave me wine and a little piece of bread. Amazing.
Really not so bad when you look at it that way.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned hell once. It was crazy.
Okay. Anyway, so the first known leader during the 1960s and 70s was a man named Morris Cates. And he believed that after the inevitable doomsday took place, all the members of the Light would be reincarnated on a planet called Nay. They would then be genderless and have no stomachs.
Beautiful.
Right?
This is the future liberals want.
They also believed that they are descended from a master Aryan race.
Oh, Aryan.
Aryan.
That's not good. That's the Nazis.
That lived on Atlantis.
I don't know if the Nazis were into Atlantis. They could have been.
And that they were red, black, and yellow. Yes.
Like their skin?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know what Aryan means?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they missed the boat on that one a little bit.
So that was what they said.
Aryan is like the blonde hair, blue eye, like Hitler archetype.
Yeah, but they lived on Atlantis, first of all.
Sorry, okay. My bad.
You got to understand, the Congregation for the Light, they are a special breed. So they also changed the doomsday date at least twice while Paul was a member. They would tell the group that it was imminent and it would happen in just a few weeks or a few months. So these members would just stop taking care of themselves since they were like, okay, we're going to die soon anyway. So Paul literally would say he would see people cancel their dental appointments and their doctor appointments because the end was near. So why did they have to take care of themselves?
I literally don't go to the dentist or the doctor, and I don't even think the world's ending.
Well, okay.
When's the last time you went to the dentist?
A year and a half ago.
You're supposed to go every 6 months.
You don't go at all.
Touche. You didn't have to yell at me. God damn.
I got defensive.
You did.
Anyway, yeah, it just didn't matter to them at all because they were like, okay, we're going to die soon in doomsday. So who cares if I have this root canal that needs to be taken care of now or else.
Yeah, I'm about to die anyway.
Yeah, whatever. But then Morris Cates would just be like, oh, haha, just kidding, guys. Doomsday is actually in like 10 years from now.
JK.
Sorry about that. And then again, when that day came, it would change again. And nobody just questioned it. Everyone was just like, okay. So the male members of the Light still to this day take part in weapons trainings so they can prepare for this doomsday whenever that may be.
What do they think this doomsday is?
The end of the world, baby.
I know, but like, why would you need, like, are we talking like, so when we say end of the world, do we mean end of civilization or end of like the world, like the world's going to blow up?
They're not very specific, but they definitely, they talk a lot about how they do a lot of combat training.
Yeah, because to me, that is like end of civilization.
And they work with, they teach them like how to work with guns and stuff.
Yeah, that's, to me, is end of civilization, yeah. Which like, I also believe that's impending.
That's probably what they mean.
That's why I'm going to take you and Kate to shoot guns. But okay. That's, I think it's a climate crisis situation that's going to bring about a Mad Max style world.
I hope not.
I hope not either, but I would like to know you know how to shoot
but
a gun.
But you would like to see it.
I think I would thrive in that environment. Yeah, yeah, of course. Who wouldn't? You.
Me.
You wouldn't, yeah.
Fuck you.
You go to the dentist too often. Too soft.
Too much.
Oh my god, wait till we get to my story, you're gonna lose your shit.
Oh no. So after Morris Cates died, the next leader was a former Southern Baptist named Joseph Denton. And during his reign as the leader, he tried to ban the internet and television from all of his members. I don't know how successful it was, but he definitely tried. And after he died in 2001, the current leader took over, and his name is Tom Baer. So the Congregation for the Light has about 200 members in New York, and there's more of these groups in Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, but the number of members there is unknown because New York is like the ultimate base.
It's like the hub or whatever.
Exactly. The Light is known to operate out of a brownstone building at 160 East 35th Street, Murray Hill in Manhattan, New York.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, and a brownstone.
Yeah.
Super nice. I'm not totally sure if they're still at this location or not. I read one thing that said they moved to Westchester County, like a little ways north of the city.
Oh.
Tom Baer, the leader, also owns a furniture store in Westchester.
Oh, okay.
And employs a lot of the members, so I don't know, maybe they just wanted to be closer. I don't know. But I only saw that in one thing.
For a second, I thought you were going to be like, he owns a furniture store and a line of paints, and I was going to be like, this is the Baer paint guy? It's a brand of paint.
How do you spell it?
B-E-A-H-R.
Oh, okay, no.
Okay.
This is B-A-E-R.
Oh, yeah, like Baer.
Yeah. Like Baer, like I've been saying, Tom yeah. Baer. Thank
Jesus.
You.
Like it's all, the English language is like a mess. I'm like, yeah, you know, like Baer, not like Baer. It's
right.
Like Baer instead of Baer.
Exactly.
At least it's not Baer.
That's right.
Like Baer.
Like Okay, so at this brownstone building, the Light holds weekly meetings every single Thursday night that you absolutely must attend no matter what. They don't care if you are on your deathbed. They don't give a fuck what you're doing. You better be at that meeting. If you have COVID, mask up. You're at that meeting.
God damn.
If you decide to send your kids to college, you have to send them somewhere close by so they don't miss that Thursday night meeting. So a lot of the kids who even it didn't matter if they had big dreams to go off to another school or whatever, or they were really smart and they got, you know,
into USC or something. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They had to go to that community college in the area. The only time of year members are allowed to go on vacation is in August. There's no explanation why. Just assuming that maybe...
Because it's Leo season, baby.
Leo Virgo season, baby. I'm thinking maybe the leaders, that's just when they wanted to go on vacation. So they're like, okay, that's the one time that we're not doing meetings.
Yeah, they're like, listen, we're really big fans of Labor Day.
And muggy weather.
Yeah, they're like, we want to go to New Orleans when it's the wettest.
Hurricane season.
Yes, baby.
So on top of the brownstone building is where Tom Bear lives, on the very tippy top floor. And the meetings are held on the bottom floor. So Tom Bear stands and preaches from the center of the room, reading from his little pieces of paper. And members are not allowed to take notes during these meetings. Very secretive, like I said. Members of the Light are also to have minimal to no contact with non-members, which are referred to as no-knots.
No-knots. What does that stand for?
We know not.
Oh, we know not. Wow. I do like that a little bit.
I thought you would.
I love being a no-knot, personally.
I'm a no-knot. You're a no-knot.
The more I know not, the better I am, baby.
We know not a lot.
We know not a lot. Yeah.
Children are taught at a young age to absolutely not play or hang out with no-knot children because obviously they're hazardous, so can't be around them.
They don't even know how to shoot a gun.
No knots.
Yeah.
That's right.
They know not how to
they
do it.
They know not. Also, children are actually not even considered to be human until they're 13 years old.
I do agree with that.
No, you might be in the Light.
I've ascended, baby.
I'm thinking. And according to the Light, if a child dies before they turn 13, that's supposed to mean they completed suicide in a past life. These people believe in karma a lot and past lives and reincarnation and stuff. So members are only allowed to decorate their homes with two specific designs. Anything that has an X on it, because apparently this is kind of like the Light's sign.
Just makes me think of X-Men.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. Wait, that is the X-Men sign.
And also the Sheep Slayers.
Oh, yeah. X. You're right. The other decor.
Mid-century modern.
Owls.
Oh.
Only owls.
Like aliens.
But they're owls.
Owls are very often involved in alien situations.
Oh, yeah. They are, huh?
What if this is a group of aliens just fucking with some people?
You're making some points.
I'm just saying.
I didn't really think of it that way.
Between the X's and the owls and the like, oh, if they're under 13, kind of whatever.
They're not human.
Yeah.
So the owls are apparently like a symbol that they're like watching over the members. So I'm feeling like the Light is basically telling members like, we're always watching you. So Paul Arthur Miller left this group in the 1990s when he saw another member spying at him while he was at dinner. He was gay and he was trying to date men. So he was on a date with a man, and this non-member kind of came up to him like screaming at him, being like, how dare you like do these gay things that you're doing?
You're not even allowed to be gay?
You're not allowed to be gay.
Why do they hate gay people so much?
I don't know.
I like have never...
There's not, it's not even like really a religion. There's not a god that they're.
Yeah, that's so confusing. Who cares?
Paul was ordered to date women in the Light after Morris Cates cornered him and said, and I quote, who is this guy who comes to stay with you on the weekends? Is he a F word? End quote.
You know what? I feel a lot less bad about making fun of these people now. Oh, no, they're all homophobes.
No, they're terrible. They're terrible
all right,
people.
Yeah, fuck you.
So Paul had to dump his boyfriend and he had to start dating women from this group, which he would like, he ended up dating this woman on and off for 5 years. So he basically just had to date this girl to like keep up appearances so he didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, he basically was in like a loveless, like arranged marriage, but instead of marriage, it was dating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are there arranged marriages?
I'm literally about to tell you.
God damn it!
So for the most part, members married other members, and a lot of young girls were forced into arranged marriages with men that were much older than them.
How young are we talking?
Not like pedophile age, but like 18 with like 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
So not great.
It's not great. It's not a good look.
But apparently, members were allowed to date or marry no-nots as long as they decided to join the light. Or so they say that was allowed to happen.
Recruitment technique.
Tom Bear was actually someone that was married into the light.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he's living proof.
Yeah. So he met his wife and then she converted him. And now he's the leader. But in 2003, a woman who chooses to remain anonymous started dating a man who was a member. So he kind of just told her, you know, a little bit about the light and everything. And according to her, she was like very interested in finding out more. She was super curious about it. She was like, I totally wanted to join to see what this was about.
I feel like my interest definitely could be piqued into something like this if they left out the homophobia and they made it about like guns and...
Well, he didn't tell her about the homophobia.
Hanging out. You know what I mean? No, I'm into that.
He was like, oh, this is all good. This is all positive vibes, you know?
Yeah, that's how they get you. They never tell you about the sex trafficking or the homophobia right. until you're in too deep.
And he even specifically said to her, like, oh, this is nothing creepy at all, just the basic tenets of all religion. So she would go with him to the Thursday night meetings and see Tom Bear preaching about how cancer and other illnesses were just a result of karma from past lives, not from health habits, genetics, or the environment, obviously. And she's just listening to him go on and on about this and about reincarnation. And she's kind of like, okay, this is weird, but all right. Then she started getting a little ballsy and was like asking too many questions to too many of the members. She asked another member if her daughter was going to Harvard or Yale, and the woman replied, what are you talking about? She'll go to a local community college. She has to attend Thursday night meetings. Anytime she would ask a question, she would just get told, you just don't remember. You'll remember when you're supposed to.
Oh, gaslight.
Try to control your dreams, and tonight you'll remember a symbol.
Gatekeep.
But this didn't stop her from continuing to ask questions.
Girl boss.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it. So one night, relatively soon after her and her boyfriend ended up getting engaged, they were at a Thursday night meeting, and everyone in the room was handed a white envelope, except for her. So almost 200 people in this room get handed an envelope, and she's just sitting there like, okay. But she's not allowed to read it or see what's inside of it, and her boyfriend just doesn't.
Fiance,
just doesn't show her.
I would get divorced right there if he didn't show me what was in that envelope.
They're not even married.
Well, I would get pre-divorced.
So the next night, she goes to her fiance's parents' house for dinner. And before dinner is even served, the mom just stands up from the table and screams, if you think you're marrying him, you're nuts. I remember you from 10,000 years ago and you tried to bring down the light. We are launching a spiritual intervention to save his soul.
So I'm guessing that's what was in the envelope?
So inside the envelope were special invitations to a meeting to sabotage her engagement.
Listen, I'm sure she was very sad because she probably loved this guy, but also very cool.
Crazy.
Imagine if you're interesting enough that people want to sabotage your engagement. They have a whole meeting about it.
She literally says in an interview that she felt like she was in a movie.
Yeah.
She was like, this isn't real.
That's main character energy.
That is main character energy. Needless to say, the woman never spoke to her fiance again and left the light, obviously. And 2 months later, she found out that he was already married to another member.
Poor guy.
So.
I mean, all of them.
I don't think I would be brainwashed into something like that. An MLM, maybe. Not a cult.
Something light an MLM.
Something light. Like
maybe I could sell some essential oils.
Yeah, you know, selling the Monat shampoo, something like that.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I know some people that do it. Their hair looks healthy as fuck, though.
I don't have Facebook. That That's the issue, I think. I don't have Facebook, so I don't know. Nobody wants me as their spokesperson,
no,
also.
No, God, no.
Yeah. FabFitFun, sponsor us.
So other ex-members have also come out to tell their traumatic experiences with the Light and the Leaders. One guy struggles a lot with post-traumatic stress disorder, even though he left the group, you know, way back in the day. It still haunts him to this day. He says as a kid, he was abused and beaten by his parents because his parents were instructed to do this by Morris Cates. He would just be like, oh, your son's a bad kid. And even though he claims that he wasn't, his parents would still beat him because
even if you are a bad kid, your parents shouldn't fucking beat you.
No, they should not.
Yeah.
They should not. Paul Arthur Miller also stated that Tom Baer believes in corporal punishment. And when he was questioned about this, Tom just said, well, if I want to spank my child, that's my own business. That's no one else's business. And Tom and the Light deny any talk of abuse or being a cult at all, obviously, to this day. And the way Tom Baer will describe the Light is, and I quote, we're not a religion. We're what a church should be. The principles are to have a decent, sane, and healthy life and to be responsible for our own actions. You can't do that in one life. It's impossible. End quote.
I'm sorry, if any of your tenets include, like, oh, you can't talk to people who question you or you can't talk to people outside of your thing, you're a fucking cult. To me, that's the biggest thing. Like, do whatever you want. I don't care. Be as weird as you want as long as you're not hurting other people. And like,
this is a damn cult.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
I got Nick on speed dial right now. My lawyer.
So that is pretty much all we know about the Congregation for the Light that is currently still active and operating. So please don't come after me. Thank you so much.
They absolutely will be.
Well,
and me too now. I was really mean.
You were. I mean, I think we have the right to be. They're kind of...
Listen, people are mean to us online all the time and we're not allowed to see them.
You're right.
So why can we not be mean to these people?
And they're child abusers. So.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That was great. Thank you. I'd never heard of that before.
Thanks.
I love when I never heard about something.
Me too.
Yeah.
What's up?
My turn.
I'm so ready.
You're so ready?
Ready and willing.
Okay. So
69. Nice.
Nice.
That was good, right?
That was a good one. Okay. It felt very casual.
Thank you.
So today I am going to be covering Rasputin.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
I've heard of him.
So.
In Power Rangers, isn't that Rasputin? Like, didn't they do a play on it? Or am I totally wrong?
I have no idea. I never watched Power Rangers.
Okay, then never mind. Ignore me, everybody.
Cut that. Yeah, I'm going to be covering Rasputin and his potential mysticalness.
Wow, and you just wrote this a couple hours ago.
Yeah, I changed my story at the last minute because I was doing this other story and it got way too true crimey. And I was like, I can't handle this. This is too dark. So we're doing Rasputin instead.
Let's do it, baby.
I literally just opened up that book that Kate got me, the Reader's Digest, like, Unsolved Mysteries thing, and just was like, oh, there it is. Okay, I'm doing this.
Just put your finger on a page.
Yep.
Wow.
What can you do?
Kate, coming in clutch. Not for me, but thanks. I still have to search for my stories.
You can do it before you leave. Just open the book and put your finger down.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, I believe in you.
Okay.
All right, so my sources today were, of course, that Reader's Digest book, Wikipedia, Biographics on YouTube, Time Magazine, and cultofweird.com.
Cults.
We love it. Grigory Rasputin was born on January 20th of 1869 in Siberia in Russia. He was born as a peasant along the Tura River. His dad was a peasant farmer and a church elder, and his mother was also from a peasant background. It's very important. They use the word peasant a lot in this story.
That's what they were.
So from the very beginning, he was a very unique child in the way that he was one of eight, and he was the only one who didn't die in either childbirth or early childhood.
Wow.
So they had eight children total, and he was the only one who survived.
A living legend.
A legend. So from a very young age, Rasputin claimed to have visions, and people in his village claimed that he would know things about his neighbors that there's no way he should have known. And there were also stories that he could save or cure sick animals. So like if your horse was ill and you didn't know what it was, you could bring it to little baby Raspy and he would like touch it and be like, oh, and heal the animal.
Good boy. Oh. Let me not get ahead of
you
myself.
You knew immediately. We're like, well.
Let me not get ahead of myself.
He's a controversial figure, we'll say.
Okay. You tricked me with the animal healing.
I did. Okay. So after that, as he got a little bit older, he had a little bit of a mischievous childhood, we'll say. So this could or could not have possibly involved things like drinking, theft, and a huge disrespect for local authority. As I was reading this, I was like, okay, clearly this guy like thought he was the shit, and the whole claiming to get visions from God thing as a child is not ideal, we'll say.
Bullshit.
Well, I just feel like that's like, if it's true, that's great. If it's not true, it shows that even as a child, he was like, how can I manipulate these people?
Yeah, ooh, scary.
Which reminded me, it was giving me a little bit Jim Jones vibes.
Oh.
Like, remember how he was, like, all into, like, preaching and all this. He would just basically latch on to whatever he thought would make people like him.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe it gave me. Not great.
Terrifying.
But he did grow up into a, quote-unquote, respectable man, and by the time he was 28, he was married and had four kids.
Wow.
And by respectable, I mean he was the worst. Because he was known to be an angry drunk who would sometimes beat his wife. And he was also a known cheater. Like, this man could not keep it in his pants to save his life.
I take it back. Not good boy.
Right? You're like, bad boy. Even.
Bad. Horrible.
Maybe even a weird guy.
Oh.
A real weird guy, even.
Yeah.
So after a night of drinking, Rasputin committed what was very likely, you know, in 1800s Siberia, one of the worst things you could do, he stole a horse. And after he stole that horse, he became known as a horse thief, which is, like I said, one of the worst things you could be back then because horses were essential to everybody's lives. And he got run out of town for stealing this horse.
Did he give the horse back?
That's a great question. I don't know for sure. So as he gets run out of town, he's not sure what to do with himself, and he decides to leave behind his four children and his wife, who I'm sure they were like, phew.
I was going to say, probably better for them.
That guy sucked.
Yeah.
And he ends up joining a monastery and becomes a monk. So at this monastery, they convince him that the only way to turn his life around is to dedicate his life to Christ and to evangelizing Siberia and the rest of Russia and preaching the Christian gospel. So he sets out to do that. And he does that for years. But while he's out there, he runs into the Kalisky cult. We love a cult.
We love a cult.
And this cult was an offshoot of like Roman Catholic, I guess. I just didn't have enough time or like, it's also not what the story is about, but they were like an offshoot of some sort of Catholicism, and they were big into like injuring yourself to repent for your sins.
Okay.
And then that slowly became a sexual thing for them. So they would like choke each other until they were about to pass out and basically get high on asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that like, what's it called? Like euphoric?
Euphoric. Yeah. So like when you get choked, and like, I don't know if y'all ever did this on the playground, but this was like a big problem when I was in elementary school.
On the playground?
Dude, I'm not kidding you. When I was in elementary school, this was like a huge problem. Kids figured out that if you choked each other, it would like make you high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to like release some sort.
Like, it releases endorphins. Yeah. Like it's like the moments before you die. That's literally the point of it. But like, you didn't have, maybe this is just at my elementary school and I thought it was nationwide.
Maybe this is why you are the way you are.
Nobody choked me.
Oh, okay. Just making
sure. Are you kidding? No, absolutely not. I was so afraid of dying since I was literally like 3 years old. I was just on the swings, chilling, living my best life. they would choke each other and like get this like crazy adrenaline rush basically and like a euphoric feeling. And then when they would like wake up, like wherever they woke up and whoever they woke up next to, they would just like have crazy, freaky orgy sex.
The kids on the playground?
No, the cult.
Oh, okay. I was getting really worried for a second.
Sorry, I'm jumping around here.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
So he ended up spending years traveling through the woods, and he did a lot of interaction with the Kliski cult, and he got very into, like, intentionally harming himself in an attempt to atone for his sins. Like, he would, like, put things in his shoes so that when he would walk, it would be uncomfortable, and when he would kneel to pray, he would put things under his knees that would hurt. So basically, it's, like, this idea of, like, you can't be close to God unless you suffer.
Okay.
So after years of doing this, he returns back to his village, and his wife and his children are still there. It's been years. He hasn't seen them in literally years. And the first thing he says is like, hey, honey, I got to use the basement for some church meetings. Like, are you down for that? Is that cool? And she's like, sure, Raspy. Like, whatever.
She says, sure.
Yeah. And
first you abused us and then you left us. And now you can come back.
And, yeah, by church meeting, he meant orgies in the basement with all of his cult friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did we just tie together our stories somehow?
We kind of did a little bit, yeah. He decides after he comes back from this big spiritual mission that he goes on that he has a vision from the Virgin Mary herself. And the Virgin Mary looks him in the eye and grabs his chin. At least this is how I envision it. And she says to him, Raspy, sweet, beautiful, smelly Raspy, you gotta go to St. Petersburg and help the royal family.
St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the capital.
Yes. But there's also a St. Petersburg in Florida, so I just had to be...
It's definitely not Florida.
Yeah, I just had to be... Make sure I was clear.
Yeah, not Florida for sure. And he's like, I am compelled to save the soul of the royal family because I might be Jesus Christ himself.
I believe it.
So he knew the old religious advisor to the Romanov family.
Romanov.
Yeah, girl.
Okay.
And so he kind of is like in contact with him and he's saying, you know, I had this vision and he's kind of become known at this point as like this healer where he would like heal people or he would save people's souls or whatever.
Could he actually heal them? Like, was this like a legit thing?
That's up for debate. We'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
One of the instances and what actually might have happened. So... He talks to this priest and he's like, yeah, you know, I think I'm supposed to help the Romanovs. And the guy's like, you know what? Just come on over here to St. Petersburg. Maybe we can figure something out. I've heard a lot of great things about you. Maybe we can get it together. So they have this exchange and he's like, cool, I'm going to go to St. Petersburg, which, by the way, is like a big journey. Mm-hmm. Siberia is huge and super rough terrain. So he ends up coming across over to St. Petersburg and... First of all, everyone's like, this dude's spooky as fuck.
Is he spooky?
Oh, let me show you a pic.
Oh, boy.
You're going to lose your shit.
I'm just envisioning, like, a rat.
I'm going to send you a picture of him.
Oh!
So, first of all, he smells like garbage, and this was something that was well known about him, that he just smelt bad. Like
he looks like he smells bad.
He never bathed. Horrific.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly could play him in a movie, though.
John C. Reilly would make him more attractive.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Describe to the people what you're seeing here.
He's just all beard and mustache and long hair, all attached to each other.
And it's all greasy.
Very greasy. Pale face. Tiny black eyes that look into your soul. I'm getting lost in the little beady eyes.
So those eyes, by the way, he could dilate his eyes at will to make his eyes appear all black. And so he would do that.
Ew.
Like, what a fucking freakazoid.
Literally a freak.
So freaky. like I said, he also smelled very bad, but the rumor was that he could heal people and heal animals. So everyone was like, I don't know, you give him a try, I guess. Because here's the thing. He definitely has wizard vibes.
He looks like a wizard.
He looks like a wizard. So like, I understand but how people could be like, yeah, that's a wizard right there.
Yeah, a wizard, but I'm thinking not the good kind of wizard.
Yeah, that same.
The dark kind of wizard.
The bad kind.
Yeah.
The Aleister Crowley type.
Exactly. He ain't Harry Potter.
He is not. So one of the names he achieves through all this is the Mad Monk, which I actually thought was a pretty interesting nickname because his eyes specifically are something people talked about a lot, that he would like just stare off and his eyes would dilate all big and just become black holes and it would freak everybody out.
Ew.
So the queen, Tsarina Romanov, so that's like this, there's like the czar and there's the czarina. She loses her spiritual advisor, whose name was Dr. Philippe. And right before he passed away, he said to her, "You will very soon meet another holy man. He will help protect your family, including your son, Alexei, who was the first boy after you had all these women and you needed a son to, like, take over the throne. This new holy man will help protect him." In come the Crow Sisters. So the Crow Sisters were Malika and Anastasia. You ever seen the movie Anastasia?
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Rasputin is in that movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now it's all
I thought
together.
It was going to click for you. I was waiting for it to happen.
No, it wasn't.
So this is the true story behind the movie Anastasia.
Fuck yeah.
So,
or no.
Yeah. So Malika and Anastasia, who both married into the family, they were called the Crow Sisters because they both had, like, hooked noses, like dark.
That's kind of a mean nickname.
Definitely.
Not gonna lie.
It's pretty mean. Yeah. So they were both into, like, black magic, and there was, like, a big spiritualism movement then, like, in Europe. They're very into, like, seances and, like, all that spirituality type stuff. And they actually weren't, they were not Russian. They were married into the family.
Okay.
So that's kind of, they kind of, like, brought this over. And, of course, they meet this spooky motherfucker, and they're obsessed with him. They're like, "Sir, yes, the smell, the eyes, the beard, we love it all."
It was his pheromones.
It was, oh my God, it was his pheromones.
Yeah.
That guy had some strong pheromones, baby. And so they bring him to a party that the Tsarina is at, and she meets him and he starts kind of talking about what he's all about. And, you know, Malika and Anastasia are talking him up, and she's kind of blown away by this guy and like the things that he's claiming he can do, especially because Felipe literally had just said, "You're about to meet another holy man who's going to be able to save your son."
Mm.
And so when she hears he has healing powers, she's like, "Okay, well, maybe this could be the guy that's going to save my son."
That's what I would think.
And so the son, and Rasputin didn't even know this at the time, the son was a hemophiliac, which is that it's a blood disease or disorder where you can't coagulate, so you just bleed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big family secret because he was the heir. He was the only male heir. So they didn't tell anybody.
Damn, that sucks.
And one day, Alexei is playing. He's like 8 or whatever. And he scrapes his knee really bad, and he won't stop bleeding.
Mm.
So all these doctors are working on him, trying to get him to stop bleeding. It just won't clot. And out of nowhere, guess who shows up at the door?
Raspy.
Good old Raspy. And he says, "I had a vision. God has sent me here. He said that the prince is in danger and is going to die if I don't see him."
So he's legit.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So they bring him over to the room, and he sends all of the guards out, so it's just him and the boy, and somehow Alexei stops bleeding. So this is what's up for debate, right? Did Rasputin have some sort of vision, and could he actually heal?
How else would he know?
Or was somehow the information leaked to one of the Crow Sisters, who then went and found him, who then went over there And when he went over and sent the guards out, the guards were basically giving him what is the equivalent to aspirin, which aspirin is actually a blood thinner, but they didn't know that back then. And so when they stopped feeding him aspirin, he healed. That's what, like, non-believers think.
I don't know. But I'm thinking Raspi might have...
Well, and, like, there were no, like, phones back then.
That's so, what I'm saying. It's not like someone could text him.
Yeah, and, like, who would have, like, told the Crow sisters, and how would they have gotten it to him so fast, and how would everybody have known where everybody was?
Back then, it just feels like information took so long to get from one place to the other. There's no way.
And how would he have known that aspirin was a blood thinner when these other doctors didn't?
Right.
Yeah. So it is a little weird. I'll give old Raspi that.
I don't know. So far, aside from the abuse, he's sounding like a healer.
And it gets a little more complicated.
All right, let's go.
So, of course, the Tsar, Nicholas II, brings him in and is like, you're a fucking healer. We need you on our team here. And I want you to be one of not only my spiritual advisor, but also like my healer. And allegedly, Rasputin just immediately got everyone addicted to drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Like hard drugs.
Okay.
Like variants of basically like heroin, uppers like meth, like, you know, that kind of like, he was basically like feeding them uppers to feel good and then downers to go to sleep. And they were like, wow, we can't sleep or eat or do anything without Rasputin here.
Yet again.
Because he got them all addicted to drugs.
I spoke too soon.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
God.
That is a great way to make yourself essential to a friend group, though.
You're not wrong.
Like, everyone just goes through withdrawals whenever you leave.
Don't put ideas in my head. I love to be wanted and liked.
It's like, have you seen those memes that are like, oh, put a nicotine patch on your girl while she's sleeping so that whenever you don't sleep over, she has a headache because she's having withdrawals?
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's like a funny, it was like a meme for a while. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's probably illegal. So Rasputin also was accused of rape. One of the maids said that she had been raped by him, and the like nanny that looked over all the little girls, because like I said, it was all girls or whatever, she felt very uncomfortable with Rasputin's relationship with the little girls, and
she said
that it was weird. But anyone who questioned him was fired. So the maid who claimed to be raped was fired. The nanny was fired, and then there was all these rumors like amongst the people of St. Petersburg that was like, oh yeah, as soon as any of the girls hit puberty, like Rasputin is on that shit, like he's fucking them.
Oh fuck.
And obviously we don't know for a fact if that's true, but that's what was kind of like the vibe that people were getting, and I wouldn't put it past him based on what I know about him. So
I mean, he's very freaky.
He's so freaky, and he smells so bad. Like literally the one thing everybody agrees on is like, this man smelled like hot, wet garbage.
We hate him. I take it back. He's not a healer.
He's not a healer. No, there's no way. And if he is, it's because Satan himself, which, by the way, a lot of people have theorized and talked about, like, in this time at least, that he was actually, like, the Antichrist.
I would definitely believe that.
Yeah, like, a bunch of people, like, who knew him and, like, whatever, they were like, this guy legitimately might be the Antichrist because he, like, if you look at the Bible, the way the Antichrist is described is that he'll, like, come into a position of power that he doesn't deserve and, like, all this stuff. And, like, he has, like, untold powers to control people's minds. And, like, that's kind of what Rasputin was allegedly doing to the Romanov family.
Ugh.
So he lives in an apartment in downtown Petersburg. And he basically starts a cult. He has all these people who are obsessed with him. This man looks terrifying. So once again, not sure what they're all about, these cult followers. And he would throw these wild parties where he would have everybody like bring like basically like a potluck style party. And he would just stare into a corner and wait until he would start mumbling and everyone would like stop talking and listen to him. And he would like claim that he was speaking to God or speaking for God. And he would like just like mumble weird things and people would write them down like they were scripture. And all these women were, like, obsessed with him. Like, obsessed with him. There was, like, one woman who, like, left her husband and her family for him.
Have you seen what he looks like?
He was constantly banging different girls, like, all the time. And there was, like, apparently a time where somebody walked into a room and there was a woman who was a married woman with three kids who was holding his member near her mouth and whispering into it, "You are God, you are God. I love you, you are God." Stop. Into his pee-pee.
Stop speaking.
Into his stank ass, never takes a bath pee-pee. Like, no thank you. What the fuck?
And if his armpit smell, you can just imagine.
You know his crotch region was just...
No, I can't. Don't talk about it.
Funky.
No. Listen.
It was like a fermented mushroom patch.
I am in the hottest, sweatiest closet ever right now. I really don't need you to be talking about that. Okay?
Thank about you. His dick
stank? Yeah, enough. Okay. Enough.
Okay. Fine. 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 Fair. So along with having all of these women who would willingly have sex with him, that was not enough. So he would hire sex workers almost every single day, and he would bring them to bathhouses, but he would never bathe in these bathhouses. He would lock the women in the room in the baths and beat them with his belt, claiming that he was cleansing them of his sin, of their sins, before forcing them to have sex with him. But first he would, like, beat them bloody, like, bad. And then he would leave without even taking, just take a fucking bath. Like, you're the worst person in the world, and then you also won't take, like, just for one, just dip a toe, brother.
Obviously, that's not on his mind if he's doing these heinous acts.
Yeah, this guy's the worst. And he's so stinky. I'm just imagining, like, imagine doing all these terrible things and just also smelling like shit.
He doesn't care. He's doing these horrible things. He's... literally does not care what he does or what he is or anything.
He's the worst. So anytime anybody tried to question him or stop him or go to the royal family and talk about him, he would go to the royal family with a sob story and say, listen, these people are trying to stop God's work. Like, you've seen it. I healed Lexi. Like, I know what the fuck I'm doing. And the two priests who actually introduced him to the royal family one day tried to, like, go against him, like, basically have, like, a coup, and, like, they went to the czar and the czarina, and they were like, listen, this guy is fucking bad. He's beating women. He's going and seeing sex workers and, like, attacking them. He's holding these, like, orgy parties at his apartment. Like, we gotta figure this out. And, of course, he was like, they're just talking bad about me because they are not as powerful as me, and I'm the best, and I'm fucking Rasputin, the stank man.
Was he making money?
His whole life was paid for by the royal family because, okay, he was, like, their spiritual advisor.
Okay.
And they end up not only not listening to these two priests, but they banish them, one of which who has to pretend to be a woman to smuggle himself into Sweden. And then the other one is banished to Siberia, like, way out in the corner of Russia. Which Siberia, I guess, used to be, like, where they'd send a lot of their criminals. So there's a lot of, like, criminal colonies and stuff out there. And this guy who was, like, this really well-respected priest, just because he said, hey, Rasputin is kind of a shithead, gets sent out to the middle of, like, the tundra and left there.
Sounds like even if Rasputin doesn't have powers, he definitely has... control over people.
He definitely does. Yeah, he's sneaky, which is crazy because he's like this stinky, ugly, scary man.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you see in this man? I don't know. So that priest that was banished to Siberia actually hires a motherfucking hit woman.
Hell yeah.
So this woman's name is Kiania Jasiva.
I love that it's a hit woman and it's all the way back then.
Oh, and she was a disfigured sex worker, which is specifically why he picked her.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, listen, I don't know when he'll be back, but I know that Rasputin is going to be back to his hometown eventually. Like, I heard him talking about going there. So I, like, whatever. And she was like, I don't want to do this, like, whatever. And he goes, he beats women. And he takes advantage of sex workers. And the reason she was disfigured is because when she was an active sex worker, one of her clients had cut her nose off so that she just had a hole in her face where her nose had been.
Oh, my God.
So this woman was like, yeah, fuck creepy-ass men who take advantage of and beat sex workers. We don't fuck with that here.
Oh my God.
So she just waited in front of his house.
She was out for blood.
Yeah, not only was she getting paid, but she was like, she knew this guy was the worst of the worst.
She had like a really good motivation to do this.
Yeah, she was like, listen, this is the guy who takes advantage of women like me who need help, who need money, who are just trying to make a fucking living, and they take advantage of us. So she knew what this guy was all about. Mm-hmm. And so she waits outside of his house. And he ends up coming home to visit. He walks into his house and he's like, oh, I got some errands to run. I'm going to go outside. And he walks out and he sees a woman standing near his home. He looks at her. She looks at him. He notices her disfigured face. And she approaches him. So he's thinking, oh, I'm going to save this woman's soul. That's actually what he like said. He's like, oh, she seemed like the perfect candidate to like, I could save her soul or whatever. And so he lets her approach. And as soon as she approaches him, she stabs him 10 times in the stomach. And not only does that, she rips his stomach open and puts her hands inside of him and pulls his organs out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And he doesn't die.
Shut.
So she leaves him for dead thinking, I just pulled this motherfucker's organs out onto the dirt.
I'm going to throw up.
And he doesn't die. And he ends up in the hospital. And even weirder, the day that this happens is the exact same day that Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, which is what led to the beginning of World War I.
He's the Antichrist.
Because he's stuck in this hospital out in Siberia, he is like, oh shit. This is going to cause a war, the assassination of Franz Ferdinand. So he sends a letter to the Tsar and is like, dude, we can't go to war. This is not a good idea. We absolutely should not go to war. But it didn't go over so well because World War I was basically like in the making right now. And he says that if we go to war, there will be a misery that is infinite for our country. Unfortunately, World War I still happened. The Tsar was, like, getting a lot of encouragement from his people. His people were like, yeah, let's go get him. Let's do this. I can't get into the details of World War I right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it's look it up. Maybe you've heard of it. And after Rasputin heals, he actually becomes one of the right-hand advisors during the war of, like, what to do. So as the war is ending, Rasputin actually foresees his own death, or so he says. So between his communications with the Tsar and his family, and also his own journal entries, it becomes clear that he knows that he's going to die soon, but he doesn't know how. He actually compares himself to Jesus Christ several times, saying like, oh, I'm going to die to save the soul of Russia, yada, yada, yada.
No, sir, you're the devil.
Yeah. And then he tells the Tsarina, you're welcome. I'm going to die for the soul of Russia. But the problem is if one of your family members betrays me, everybody in your family is going to be dead in 2 years. And I promise you that.
A little cursey curse.
A little bit of a cursey curse, yeah. And it turns out
they betrayed him.
A betrayal was on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tsarina's nephew, whose name was Felix, he was very anti-Rasputin. And a lot of people were. Because there was like kind of this weird division between people thinking he was like
a god.
God or the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Felix is married to a woman named Irina, who is supposed to be one of the most beautiful women in all of Russia. And he goes to Rasputin and says, listen, my wife, me and her, I'm bisexual and we're swingers and I think my wife has developed a sex addiction. Maybe we've gone too far. We need your spiritual counsel. Could you please help us? And they invite Rasputin to come cure Irina's sex addiction. This was all, of course, just a clever cover-up for an assassination attempt.
Shit.
So they bring him to a basement for a dinner, which they had actually set up the whole basement to look like a huge party had just happened there and that everyone had just left. And they were like, hey, Irina just was in her throes of sex addiction. We had this big party and she slept with so many people. She's upstairs right now, but we want to sit here and talk until she comes down and then you can cure her. And so they start feeding him wine and cakes and food and all this stuff, and it was all poisoned with cyanide. But after hours of Rasputin eating all this food, nothing. He doesn't even get sick. And so Felix, in his frustration, pulls out a gun and shoots him, and Rasputin falls over dead. So they end up going upstairs.
That's what killed him?
They end up going upstairs, talking to Irina and the other people that were upstairs, and then they get a doctor to come over, and the doctor comes over. They go downstairs to, like, declare him dead, like, hours later. And as the doctor is checking his pulse, Rasputin sits up.
What the fuck?
Opens his eyes and lunges at Felix, who goes to shoot him again but misses. And then Rasputin scurries up the stairs and runs out into the courtyard.
Like a rat.
Like a little rat. And then Felix follows him out, and there's like a whole crew at this point, like, following this guy. And they're like, we gotta fucking kill this guy, dude. But nothing's affecting him. So they end up shooting him directly in the head, literally point blank range. And then they shoot him 10 more times and then carry his body and cut a hole in the ice and put his body inside of this river that's iced over because it's Russia. It's cold. And when Rasputin's body is found in the river, he's found frozen with his hands up like he was trying to break through the ice. And there was water in his lungs.
So he wasn't even dead.
He wasn't even dead then.
And he was shot in the head.
He was shot in the head. So after he was buried, people were so afraid that he was going to come back to life again. Because they were like, this guy clearly has some shit going on.
Yeah.
They actually dug up his body and burned the corpse.
Wow.
Because they were so afraid. And it turns out his curse was actually true.
I knew it.
Within 2 years, the entire royal family, including Anastasia, had been murdered in an uprising where the entire, like, literally the entire Romanov family was taken out. The bloodline ended, and for some reason, they made an animated film about it called Anastasia.
Yeah.
Which is very different than the telling.
Extremely different.
And just as a little side note, apparently they cut off his penis before they burned him. And that is now displayed in a museum in St. Petersburg. It's pickled in a jar.
You've got to be kidding
me. It's very gross looking. Do you want to see it?
Not really.
Okay, I don't have to show you.
Well, I felt like you were going to show me anyway.
Well, do you want to see it?
Well, I mean, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't just show me anyway, even though I don't want to. Okay. You can take it away now.
Okay.
I don't want to see it anymore.
It even has some pubes on there.
Yeah, I saw that part.
So, yeah, it's very gross looking, and apparently women used to think that it bestowed fertility, so they would go see it when they wanted to get pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that is the story of Rasputin and the Romanov family. Wild ride, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, you threw me for a couple loops there.
It was a pretty shocking one.
Yeah. Bro. He's a fucking creepy ass, disgusting human being, but there's something to him, for sure. There's something magical to him.
Listen, there's the dark arts and there's the white arts. I don't know who's in what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but shout out Rasputin.
No, fuck him.
Well, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
We also have a listener story today.
Yeah, get me to forget about you showing me his penis in a jar.
I can do that for you.
Okay.
This one is from Jake A, and I love this because he said, Jake A, last name too hard to pronounce, LOL. Respect.
A is perfect.
It's A-OK.
That's right.
So he says, hi, ladies. I love listening to your podcast. It's one of my and my partner's favorites by far. So I have two little pet stories, one spooky and one sweet. Get a tissue, Amanda. I'll start with the scary ones.
Nothing is better than when people say that.
They literally know.
I love it.
They're like, the scary ones for Cassidy, the sweet ones for Amanda.
Yeah.
The first one involves my childhood dog late at night. It was about 10 years ago, and I was home visiting from college. At the time, my family had two dogs, and the older one was Nellie, who was the love of my life.
Aww.
She would sleep in my dumb little twin bed with me every night she could. And this night was no different. It was about 12:30, 1 a.m., and I was sitting up in bed messing around on my phone or something, Nellie laying by my feet. My bed faced the bathroom in the left corner of the room, and I would keep the door open because Nelly liked to go lay on the cool tiles during night. My dog does the same thing. A quick note about my childhood home. It is an apartment on the 11th floor in a building built in the 20s. Oh, that's so haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the time of this story, it was about 90 years old. I have no knowledge into its history, but it's always given me very heavy vibes. Never dangerous or even scary, at least before this, but like there were something about this we didn't know. The heaviest room being my bathroom. Weird things always seem to happen in the bathroom and my bathroom only. Things falling, doors not quite how you left them, and an old radiator that, no matter how many times it's been quote-unquote fixed, won't stay any cooler than 110. Oh, Jesus. So my pup and I are in the bed, me on my phone and her at the foot of my bed facing the bathroom. All of a sudden, I hear her start growling. I look up, and she is slowly getting up, the hair on the back of her neck standing straight up all the way to the tail.
No.
And she is staring into the bathroom. I think that maybe she just heard something outside or something, and at the time, she was older, so her senses weren't what they used to be.
Means that if she heard something, it was definitely there.
Yeah. I say her name, which does nothing. I move my feet to get her attention, which also does nothing. I lean forward, my heart pounding by this point, and I give her a little push. But no matter what I do, she will not stop looking into the dark bathroom. Panic sets in, as Nellie has always been incredibly sweet, and I have never seen her even growl, so seeing her get this worked up is alarming. She is absolutely fixated on the bathroom, and I'm too scared at this point to move. We sit there, Nellie still staring into the bathroom, and snarling at this point, and me concentrating on not wetting the bed. And finally, after maybe about 15 seconds, as if someone flipped a light switch, she just relaxed, settled down, and curled up close to one of my legs, completely calm.
Suspicious.
I, of course, was not calm, and once I muster up the courage, I close the bathroom door and sleep with the light on. That was years ago, and while Nellie is no longer with me to alert me of invisible intruders, nothing like that has ever happened since. I like to think that that night she set a boundary with whatever or whoever it was in there. But oh boy, is that something that stuck with me.
Nellie, sweet girl.
Good girl. Protector.
Very good girl.
The next story, the better, happier one.
Okay, good.
Involved my partner's cat, Petra.
Petra.
My partner had Petra for 13 years since she was a kitten and they were 10. She was old for her size and her breed and got sick last year. A few months ago, we made the difficult decision to end her confusion and suffering. In the time we lived together, my partner told me how Petra was always pretty shy, and it took a while to get used to new people. So when I was home watching TV and Petra came and sat on my lap, I felt very #blessed. So while it had been only about 6 months that Petra was my little fluffy roommate, I was devastated when we said goodbye. She had truly come to feel like my little fur baby. A few weeks later, I bought an Oculus VR headset. Note about these for anyone who hasn't used one. When you turn it on, it calibrates to the room around you, showing you a red thumbtack-looking thing around objects that might be in your way while you play, usually exactly to the height of the object. There is a camera.
I'm already going to cry.
There is a camera so you can see everything in black and white to see what it is telling you it's in your way. So one night, I get up to play after my partner had gone to bed. The headset is doing its usual setup, showing me the room and the play space, when I see one of our other cats, Loretta, surrounded by the little digital thumbtacks. She gets curious near my feet. Not crazy, not scared, just sniffing, which isn't too random since she loves feet. But this was different. She was, like, aware of something I couldn't see. All of a sudden, little red thumbtacks start showing up, and they seem to be walking around the area, but nothing was there. They weren't tracing an object, they were just floating. I thought at first the light was messing with my camera. It was late and I only had one dim light on. I turned on another light, but the thumbtacks were still there, moving. I took the headset off and restarted it, thinking it was some sort of glitch, but when the area set up again, it came back, and so did the little red thumbtacks. I got spooked a bit, but Loretta at this point was calmly sitting just outside the play area, so I knew whatever was happening wasn't something to be scared of. I took some time to look at the patterns and the height, as they moved around my screen. Whatever was triggering them was small, maybe only 8 or 9 inches, and thin, moving around slowly and consistently like it was pacing. Loretta came back into the play area to stand near me again, and that's when my heart started really racing. Seeing the thumbtacks next to Loretta, getting a size comparison, I realized they were the same height as Petra. I froze, then calmly got down on my knees. The thumbtacks stopped moving just out of my hand's reach. I put my hand out and quietly said, "Petra?" And the thumbtacks moved in my direction, stopping in front of me. I sat for what felt like hours, not knowing what to do or say. I got teary-eyed, and all I could think to mutter was, "We love you." I put my hand out one more time, and the thumbtacks moved away towards a cardboard box outside the area. She had loved to sit in that, and we hadn't had the strength to get rid of it. I stood there in awe, crying, as the thumbtacks vanished before they reached the box. I waited, but they never came back. Since that night, my Oculus has never detected anything abnormal. I strongly believe it was Petra coming to say one final goodbye to us and her box. We kept the box, repurposing it by putting it on its side for our other cats, so Petra still has a place to rest if she ever comes back to visit. So, keep your doors locked and keep your mind and cardboard boxes open. That was really, really good. Thank you so much.
That one just hit a little too close for home for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Jake. That was really sweet. Maybe you need to get a VR thing, Amanda.
You think Irwin would come?
I'm sure he's there, stinking up the house still. He loved to take stinky poops.
He did. Oh, man. Well, that was a beautiful story, and I truly believe that Petra was there. Whew! Sorry, that one just hit a little too close to home for me. But, wow, thank you for that.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And we love stories like that. We love to make Amanda cry because we know there's some people who play a drinking game with this and they're all finishing their glass right now.
Definitely chug because I am
bawling. She's really crying. But thank you guys so much for sending in your stories. Thank you so much to all of our cool kids and everyone who's written us a nice review. Thank you to all of our listeners. We think you guys are awesome. And most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Ooh, you came in there so fast. Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Hello, and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a podcast. What? Did you just burp into the mic already?
No, my throat gurgled.
Oh, geez. Okay, we're starting again.
You smell good?
I smell okay.
Okay. Troll.
What was that noise that just came out of your body?
I tried to say children.
Troll. What is happening? This weird energy in here tonight. I do not like the energy we've created in the studio. My knee pit is sweating a lot, yeah, actually, now that you say it. Oh, this is digest. It's because I had a fucking digestion. Pound of beans before you came over.
That's definitely what it is.
I all the time am like, how am I not so poor? Because I make $0, and I realize it's because I do things like this where I've had this since I was 13.
No, but that's good.
Yeah, I'm thrifty. I just spend all my money on alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an adult.
That's right.
Like, we're just two ladies in a walk-in closet.
Literally.
Yeah, with a very stinky dog.